1967. Despite the menacing weather and bitter cold that chilled the Northeast, 600 friends and colleagues, Nobel laureates, politicians, generals, scientists, poets, novelists, composers, and acquaintances from all walks of life, gathered to recall the life and mourn the death of J. Robert Oppenheimer. Some knew him as their gentle teacher and affectionately called him Oppie. Others knew him as a great physicist, a man who in 1945 had become the father of the atomic bomb, a national hero, and an emblem of the scientist as public servant. And everyone remembered with deep bitterness how, just 9 years later, the new Republican administration of President Dwight D. Eisenhower had declared him a security risk, making Robert Oppenheimer the most prominent victim of America's anti-communist crusade. And so they came with heavy hearts to remember a brilliant man whose remarkable life had been touched by triumph as well as tragedy. The Nobelists included such world-renowned physicists as Isidore I. Rabie, Eugene Wigner, Julian Schwinger, Tsung Dao Li, and Edwin McMillan. Albert Einstein's daughter, Margot, was there to honor the man who had been her father's boss at the Institute for Advanced Study. Robert Serber, a student of Oppenheimer's at Berkeley in the 1930s and a close friend and veteran of Los Alamos, was there, as was the great Cornell physicist Hans Bethe, the Nobelist who had revealed the inner workings of the sun. Irva Denham Green, a neighbor from the tranquil Caribbean island of St. John, where the Oppenheimers had built a beach cottage as a refuge after his public humiliation in 1954, sat elbow to elbow with powerful luminaries of America's foreign policy establishment, lawyer and perennial presidential advisor John J. McCloy, the Manhattan Project's military chief, General Leslie R. Groves, Secretary of the Navy Paul Nitze, Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Arthur Schlesinger, Jr., and Senator Clifford Case of New Jersey. To represent the White House, President Lyndon B. Johnson sent his scientific advisor, Donald F. Hornig, a Los Alamos veteran who had been with Oppenheimer at Trinity, the test on July 16, 1945, of the first atomic bomb. Sprinkled among the scientists and Washington's power elite were men of literature and culture, the poet Stephen Spender, the novelist John O'Hara, the composer Nicholas Nabokov and George Balanchine, the director of the New York City Ballet. Oppenheimer's widow, Catherine Kitty Puning Oppenheimer, sat in the front row at Princeton University's Alexander Hall for what many would remember as a subdued, bittersweet memorial service. Sitting with her were their daughter, Tony, age 22, and their son, Peter, age 25. Robert's younger brother Frank Oppenheimer, whose own career as a physicist had been destroyed during the McCarthyite maelstrom, sat next to Peter. Strains of Igor Stravinsky's Requiem Canticles, a work Robert Oppenheimer had heard for the first time and admired in this very hall the previous autumn, filled the auditorium. And then Hans Bethe, who had known Oppenheimer for 3 decades, gave the first of 3 eulogies. "He did more than any other man," Bethe said, "to make American theoretical physics great. He was a leader, but he was not domineering. He never dictated what should be done. He brought out the best in us, like a good host with his guests." At Los Alamos, where he directed thousands in a putative race against the Germans to build the atomic bomb, Oppenheimer had transformed a pristine mesa into a laboratory and forged a diverse group of scientists into an efficient team. Bethe and other veterans of Los Alamos knew that without Oppenheimer, the primordial gadget they had built in New Mexico would never have been finished in time for its use in the war.